G'day, trendsetters. Welcome to episode 742 of the Trainsmove podcast. My name is Tim Egg, and if you have a question for the show, jump on through to the website trainsmove.com or send me through an email, tim@trainsmove.com. Now, I missed you guys. It's been a little bit over a couple of weeks since I've done an episode. Oh, hang on. I'm looking here now. It's been like 20 days. It's truth. Time flies when you're having fun. And I have been having a lot of fun over the last little bit. I was ready to do a podcast early last week, but I didn't get any questions come through, so I just didn't bother boring you guys. Yeah, I've done a couple of races lately. So in the last 2 weeks, two races, and so that makes three races in the last 6 weeks, and all of them have given me a whole lot of good, solid information and crap to work on, and crap and positive crap that I didn't think I was ever going to achieve. But I don't know where to start. Because I wasn't going to do a race report, but because I've got two races in one episode here, and I've got two questions to get to, but what I might do is I might punch out a couple of race reports on this one, and then we can go into normal questions in the next. But I did two events lately. The first one was 2 weeks ago, was Coles Bay Half. And for those from Australia and, you know, New Zealand, you probably should put this race on your bucket list of events you should try and get to, because it's a great event in a magnificent, you know, spot of Australia. Really, it's just a magnificent spot for a race. And as I said, it's just a bloody good race. But I can't remember how many times I've done this event. It's been a few. But this time, I got there the night before. And I camped with, you know, tents and air mattresses and stuff like that. I've never done that before, a race before. But me being a tightwad, I didn't want to fork out, you know. I'm always looking for a bargain and an experience. And we just camped there. And it was actually bloody good, enjoyable. But we get there the afternoon before, and I set up the tent, and everything's all raring to go. I'm sitting back thinking, oh, yeah, this is good. And then we go to the beach with my wife and my son. My daughter didn't come because she couldn't think of anything worse than spending her day watching me exercise all day. So we're looking over the beach, and this water is flat as a tack. There's a little bit of a breeze up. It's quite warm, and I'm thinking, we're in for a corker here. This is just going to be an amazing event. And I was saying to my wife, it's like someone's grabbed the roller and rolled out this bay here. The water's smooth as hell. This is going to be bloody magnificent. Anyway, the next morning I wake up, and the wind's picked up a treat. You see nothing but white caps all over the water. It looks like it's as bloody rough as guts. And so I mosey on down in the morning to check the bike and all that in, and they told me they've shortened the course. They've changed the swim course, and they've shortened it to 1 kilometre because they're worried about the cans being floated away. Because about 8 years ago or so, I did that event, and the cans in rough water got pushed right away, and all the athletes, instead of doing 1.9k swim, they end up doing like 3.5k's of swim. So they've been paranoid about this ever happening again. And in fairness, nine times out of ten, it's a very smooth swim. So I thought, it's a rough swim. I don't want to swim in the rough water, but I need to swim in rough water because I know at the Ironman event I'm doing, it's going to be rough swim. So it's good to prepare, good to train. It's exactly what I need. And so we walked down to the beach, and I thought, right, it's warm-up time. I'm just going to swim nice and easy to the first can out there, which 70, 80 metres, somewhere around there. And I thought, I'm just going to swim nice and easy to there. I'll turn around, I'll do a couple of drills, then I'll add in some harder efforts, and then I'll finish off with a few hundred meters nice and easy again. And so I start swimming out to this first can, and just nice, easy strokes. All I'm worried about is good technique, in particular when my hands are entering the water and the catch. That's the main thing I'm really focusing on. And I look up every six strokes, head back down. I'm getting crashed around on the waves because I'm heading right into these things. And I'm just focusing purely, I'm trying to focus on this technique. And I look back up and see, you know, I haven't really gone anywhere. Head back down, six more strokes. Look back up, haven't really got any closer to this can. Head back down, I'm just focusing on being nice and easy, relaxed, smooth. And it was like, I realized, I think, it's like I'm swimming on a treadmill here. I'm not getting any closer. So I had no choice but to add a little bit more force into it. And it was just a bizarre thing. But anyway, the race starts. We swim. We get crashed around pretty hard going out to the first can. And then as we head back towards Coles Bay, it was wavy, choppy, rough, but it wasn't that bad. And I get out of the water thinking I've had a horrible swim. I'm thinking, geez, this is two races in a row I've had a really bad swim. And I'm just negative on this swim, but I'm trying to forget it. I go through transition, grab my bike, and off I go. And it's three laps on the bike. And the first lap, perfect. I couldn't have asked for a better lap. And then the next two laps, I think I mentally checked out. I kept looking at power, and then I think, oh geez, I'm dropped. So I had to keep increasing it, but I kept naturally dropping my power, and to the point where lap two, I had a 7-watt power fade, which is compared to lap one, that's massive. That I'm you know, appalled by that. And lap three, I had 11 between the first lap and the third lap. I had 11-watt power fade, and I didn't realize that at the time. But I think about this power fade every day at the moment. But the reason I think it was me mentally checking out compared to your legs just didn't have it or whatever. I got off the bike feeling really fresh in the legs. It's like my legs did not possibly feel like they've cycled 90 kilometers. If you asked me to put a number on how many Ks you feel like you've done, I'd go probably 20, 25, 30, maybe somewhere around there. They just did not feel like they had any fatigue in them whatsoever. And so, my normalized power was 225 watts. I was aiming for 235 watts for normalized power. My power variability was actually, I can't think of it what it was now, but it was actually a half decent power variability, a hell of a lot better than what it was at 70.3 Tassie 4 weeks prior to that. Cheese and chalk. Yeah, I was pretty disappointed with that 11% power fade between the first lap and the third lap. It's bloody, I'm getting angry just thinking about it as at the moment. But on the run, I take off on the run, and it was originally supposed to run to power, 285 watts, exact same run plan as I had at 70.3 Tassie. But I wasn't sure about paces because in past years, it was over half the, you know, it was close, not close to, somewhere around half, 45% of this run is on the beach. And so I wasn't sure about paces or anything. So I thought I'll just run the exact same power as I did at 70.3 Tassie, which was 285 watts to 17 kilometers. And then after that, you can forget the power and just run on feel. So that was the original plan. But coming into transition two, I realized my legs feel completely fine here, and forget that, I'm going. And so I just start running on feel, and I start running on a what feels very, very, very comfortable. And I'm just ticking along the miles and stuff. Anyway, I look down and I start panicking. Not panicking, I start worrying, thinking, geez, I think I've taken off a bit too fast, but I feel really good here. So I'll keep going. And it's like 4:35 pace. And I was expecting to be somewhere around 4:45 pace for this, at these powers, somewhere around there. And but I feel really good, so I thought, bugger it, just go with it, you know, just blow up at the end, that's all good. It's just a good training day we're doing today, good test day. And so I'm ticking along these miles, and I've noticed I'm getting closer to a mate who beats me every single race we've ever done. At 70.3 and Ironman, we've done Ironman together, and he beats me every single time. And I've noticed I'm getting closer to him and closer to him. And on lap, it's 4-lap run, and on lap at the end of, you know, lap three, I catch him. And because I wanted to be a smart aleck to him, maybe not a smart aleck, but I just wanted him to think I've got, you know, cardio for weeks here. I start walking past, and we're running close to the hazards. Like, we can see the hazards, which is the four midget looking mountains, which look spectacular. Maggot, you know, they have that wow factor to them. And I run past him, and as calm as you like, I say to him, "Hazards look good today, mate, don't they?" And he gets a half a shock that it's me next to him. And I run back, and it wasn't till we're on the run back is when he says, "Geez, you're running well today," or something on the lines of that. Anyway, and everything just felt great on this run. I just couldn't believe it. And I'm thinking, because I'm not looking at distance, I'm not, every now and again I'll look to see what my pace is. I'm not looking at power or heart rate or anything, but mostly I'm just looking, you know, running on feel. And I don't even have distance on my watch, on my main screen that I'm looking at. And I'm just thinking, I'm on here. I knew the swim was severely short to a kilometre. I didn't realise the bike was 900 metres long, but I didn't care or look at that. But all I could think about on this run was, God, I hope this run's not short, not even by 1 meter, because I'm going to get a PB here, and I don't want a mark against this at all. And I'm running and running and running, and it's not until I cross the finishing line when I realise that it's bloody 800 or 900 meters short, and I'm just going, really? You've just taken any chance of me claiming a PB on this distance. It's but I ran at 4:36 pace, which is I don't train for that, so I was really happy with that. I was really, really happy. And then back into training, my fatigue levels, you know, I was a bit sore that afternoon, but they came back to normal feeling within 2 days, day and a half, 2 days, and then back to normal training. Anyway, I'll try not to bore you too much here, but yesterday I did, Sunday I did an Olympic distance triathlon in Devonport. And going back, I should say, at that Coles Bay half, my son was supposed to race the sprint distance, and we try registering him, and he's 15 years old, register for a sprint distance, $190. And I'm like, bloody, you guys are going to make Ned Kelly blush with that sort of prices. Fair dinkum. And so my wife sends him a message saying, 15-year-old, is that correct? And I go, yeah, that's correct. But just for goodwill, what we're going to do is take $20 off. And my wife's like, you'd want to sharpen your pencil a little bit tighter than that. So my son was a cheerleader for the day. As much as we love watching him race, there is a price to it, though. It's $190 for a 15-year-old to do a race. Fair dinkum. Anyway, so Saturday, I do this Olympic distance in Devonport. It's they've got the Friday they got the heap of para triathletes doing their events, trying to qualify from all around the world, mostly Australia and New Zealand. They got the age group sprint distance, super sprint distance, and Olympic distance race in the morning on the Saturday, and then Saturday afternoon they got the elite men and women. And I was volunteering for the men and women elites at the aid stations, which is cool as hell. I did it last year, and it's just super cool. And my son got a calf strain because he's silly and not, you know, doing the right thing according to programs. It will happen if you don't follow the program. And he got a calf strain, and so he couldn't run to do this event. So he got his best mate to do the run for him as a team, and we're having trouble registering him. And so I said, oh, well, you know, I know the race director wellish, and I know his parents, who are also organizing this race, very well, in particular the dad, very well. And I said, we can organize it, we'll organize it when we get there. And so we arrived there, and they said, oh, we can't do the team. We can't register the team because of this and that or whatever. And I said, well, how about you register as an individual? My son just swaps over the chip in transition two. They finish the race and you can DQ them. And they said, oh, yeah, we can do that. And so my son didn't bother whether he got DQ'd at the end or not. So he actually had a really good race. He swam and bike. He was the first out. He led the race out of the water, which was pretty cool to hear. And he was second off the bike. And then his mate that he's had, you know, his best mate for 300 years, did a solid. But my race, it's as close to a perfect race that I've ever experienced, and one that I can say represents where I'm at. At the moment, I've never had a race where I go, yeah, that represents where I'm at the moment. And it was just a bloody good race. I only made one silly mistake. It was Olympic distance, 1500 meter swim. That went well. I didn't hit my lap button coming out of the water, so I'm not 100%. Strava looks good. It's saying I swim at 136. But it also saw that me run up the beach, and then I stood at my bike for another moment of time, getting my helmet and all that. But looking, I think it was about 139, 140 pace I swam, so which you know, about where I'm at. And I get onto the bike, and I take off, and I made a couple of mistakes. The first mistake is I never looked at what the bike course was or any of the course. I thought I knew it in my head, but I clearly didn't, because I thought we went up this hill six times. And it's not a massive hill, but it's a short, sharp hill. And it's just enough to, you know, as my grandfather would say, to, you know, split the men from the boys. And so I was hopeful that we were going to go up that, to be honest, but it didn't, and it was just Tassie's not flat by any stretch of the imagination, and they were able to find a 6 kilometer loop that is flat out and back. That was flat. It's the flattest part of Tassie, I swear. And so I did this first lap at my normal cadence, at my normal riding and stuff, and I realized that I'm in the wrong cadence here. I think I did that first lap at 225 watts, and my cadence was 95 RPM, and it was after it. I thought, you idiot, you muppet, you need to lower your cadence. And once I dropped my cadence down to about 78 RPM, I was flying. I went up to 37 k's an hour. I'm guessing those watts, because I clearly I had a problem with my power meter. The two days before I calibrated my power meter, which, if you guys haven't calibrated your power meter anytime soon, you really should do it now. It's at minimum, you should do it once a week, but they recommend every session. But I forgot to calibrate mine on race day, and I've taken off, and something's happened between last time I calibrated it a couple of days prior and race morning, because my power meter's reading 700, 800 watts, and I'm thinking, oh, I wish. And so I had to delete all that power. So I'm just estimating in my head it would be about 225 watts I would have held with a cadence of about 95 RPM for that first lap. And it wasn't until I dropped it down to 78 RPM that I increased my power to what I would guess is somewhere around 250 watts. And I was hovering around that 37 k's an hour thereabouts. And so I get off the bike, and I'm feeling nice, feeling okay, and I put on the run that I never thought I was ever going to do. Going into it, I thought I'll run about 4:30 pace, and I ended up running 4:11 pace, and it was fun, because I caught the guy who mentors me. I caught him on the run, and I thought, right, I'm going to go around him, and I'm going to go around, you know, I'll increase speed so he doesn't stay with me. And I've just increased my pace. I was like 4:15 pace, and I've gone to 4:05 pace or something like that. And he's just, he's attached himself to the back of me like a trailer axle, and he's not letting up. And I thought, crap, I'm just going to have to hold this pace for a little bit longer to see what happens. And then as I'm running, he's just there. I can hear him breathing, and I'm thinking, actually, this is the coolest thing that I think I've ever experienced in a race. Because this guy mentors me, and he's a stone cold killer in a race. While I can generally have a talk and my mind's free and I can chat or whatever and think about many different things and talk to people if I wanted, he's in this zone, always in a zone. And so and I thought, oh, this is cool. And so we're running back into this with 2 k's to go or whatever, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm already at top end effort, and there's no, I knew he's going to kick somewhere. Well, at first I thought, this is going to be cool if we cross the finishing line together, right? Get a photo of us crossing the line. I'm going to look forward to. And then I thought, hang on, he's not going to want a bar of a photo with me during a race. He's a killer. He's going to kick, and I want no part of kicking, because I could just see me already. I'm running 10 k's at a pace that I don't do any training for whatsoever. I run at those powers, but they're always on a hill, on an incline of an 8-minute incline, but that's as good as I get. And so I'm thinking, I can just see myself trying to kick or whatever, and I'm just going to pull a calf or a hammy or something. So I thought, I want no part of this. And so as we're 250 meters or whatever from the finishing line, I say, you go, mate, go, or words to that effect. And he's put 100 meters into me in a space of 250 meters. He dropped me like a bad habit. It was not pretty. And but I was just shocked that apart from the first lap on the bike, that was just the perfect race for me for where I'm at the moment. And so I'm happy. I'm super, super happy. And I've got some things I've got to work on. In particular, I'm worried about my power over time, my power duration over time. That if it, you know, I keep going back to that Coles Bay half where I had a 11% power fade between the first 30 k's versus the last 30 k's. That's too much. It should be well and truly, if there's a power fade, it should be under 3%, especially on a ride like that. My CDA for Coles Bay half read two different things. My windsock said it was 0.3 something, and then the going off what's that program called, Golden Cheetah with the Chung method, it was coming up 0.24, and I sent my power file to that guy that I was mentioning who mentors me, and he put it in his system and it came back 0.24, so that was nice. Unfortunately, I don't know what my CDA is at Devonport Olympic distance, because I had no I had to delete my power, so I'm not sure what that is. I couldn't imagine it would be as that low, 0.24, because there's a 3,000 speed humps you got to go over, and you got to sit up for each one of them. But anyway, I think I'm mumbling a bit too much here, but that was the main thing I've got to focus on, that I've got earmarked to focus on, is my bike over periods of time, to make sure I don't lose that. A lot of the key sessions would be loading up the front part. I was only talking to someone about this the other day, and I gave a couple of these sort of sessions to some athletes recently, where you load up the first part of your session. Whether it be like I did a session a week or so ago where it was 2 times 6 minutes hovering just under threshold, 10 minutes hovering, 90% of threshold, 20 minutes hovering at LT1, followed by 40 minutes hovering at 10 watts above race power, and you load up that front, really get some fatigue into the legs first up, and then try and settle in at or just above race power, and so on. And then I'll try and increase that over time, but that's one way I'm going to do it, hopefully. But anyway, I think I've dribbled enough now. Crap. But yeah, actually, now that I'm finishing this, I think this is actually quite a boring episode. Sorry about that. If you guys have any training, racing, nutrition questions, send them on through to tim@trainsmove.com, and I'll do my best to make the next one a little bit more entertaining. Hooray!